So, Dave, do you have your Christmas tree up yet?
We do have. We got it up the day before Thanksgiving. That's how
excited
we were.
Wow, the day before
Christmas.
Thanksgiving. Is that early for you?
It's about on par. We normally do it around that weekend. So, yeah. That's about on average. How about you? You're not up yet? Or is it up yet?
We don't.
Not a question I'm normally comfortable.
Well, we're coming right
you.
Out of the gate with this one, aren't we?
Hey, Brad, how you doing over there? How's it hanging? Quite literally, Brad, how is it hanging?
we don't have our Christmas tree up yet. We might do it this weekend. But something really interesting happened. I've always been kind of against Christmas trees because it's always a big mess. It's always a big pain in the butt to get them. My wife always wants to. She's got this unreasonable fantasy about me driving the family out into the woods and us chopping down our Christmas tree.
Have you actually done that?
No, are you kidding me? I barely have the mechanical inclination to use an electric toothbrush, let alone a chainsaw. I'm supposed to go down there and chop down it. This is ridiculous. Besides,
Hold up. With Philadelphia, how far do you have to drive to get to a forest, by the way?
Oh, to a forest? It would have to be an hour and a half drive at the minimum.
See, when I think of Philadelphia, I think of, like, do you remember the movie Dune, Baron Harkonnen's planet? Just the metal and the industrialization?
Yeah.
That's what I think of around Philly. So, like, there can't be a forest anywhere near there.
No, and not only is there not a forest, but there's a perfectly good Christmas tree lot just three blocks away that I can go. We can select our tree. They've got it drilled. Do you do the drill thing where they drill a hole into it and then your Christmas tree stand has a little pike that you put it on and it's always perfectly straight?
Oh, no. I've never had that.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best in the whole wide world. It's the best. In fact, one year we didn't go to our traditional Christmas tree lot and we got it from another place and they didn't drill the hole in straight. And so we were this had to have been around 2013, 2014. It was before Patreon had taken off and we were budgeting really, really pretty heavy. And we go to get this Christmas tree from a lot that wasn't ours, not our usual one. And right. They drill the hole in crooked. And the whole time we finally get the tree up, we get all the decorations on it, all the porcelain, all the glass. And it's looking crooked to me. But I'm like, no, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And 5 minutes later, with nobody anywhere near the tree, it comes crashing down.
No. Oh. And all the glass ornaments and everything
So many ornaments were ruined and destroyed, like glass-blown Disney ornaments that we had gotten when we went to Disney on family vacation. It was horrible. In fact, I've got a photo because that shows just how crooked the tree was. It was almost a 45-degree angle. I'll post the photo on Patreon.
It's a very Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh man! So yeah, so the upshot is we always go to this Christmas tree lot. They do a wonderful job. They drill the hole. We get a nice. Now we've got hardwood floors in our house, and it is kind of a pain in the keister because we're sweeping up Christmas tree needles for the rest of the year. I mean, you just never get all the needles, right?
It's like when you get back from the beach and you got sand in every nook and cranny.
Yes. It's exactly like that. So imagine, and every year I'm like, oh, geez, why don't we just get, I've got an artificial tree in the basement that I've had since I graduated college, right? It's a horrible looking artificial tree, but I'm always like, why don't we just, I've got a tree right in the basement. Just let me put up the tree. Carolyn always gets really upset. And it's a yearly argument that goes on. So I come down the stairs and my son is talking to my wife, my older son, and I hear my wife say those magic words, well, talk to your father about it. And I go, you know that sentence that you never want to hear your spouse say, talk to your father. So I'm like, all right, what's going on? And he says, I think we ought to get an artificial Christmas tree. And I go, really? You don't want a real tree? He goes, no, it's kind of a mess and it's kind of a bother to get it. And I'm like, yeah, but we go to our Christmas tree lot and we pick out our tree and they always drill it real nice and we put it on top of the car. And he says, yeah, but then we have a hard time getting it in the house and getting it set up. And I'm like, I I'm standing there and I realize that if I actually got my way and we got an artificial tree, I would really be upset. I'm like the dog that's chasing the parked car, you know? What is he going to do if he catches it?
Right.
I got my way, and in that moment, I'm like, I don't want an artificial tree. I want to get a real tree.
Oh.
And Carolyn goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. I said, I in that moment when it was like it was reality, I'm like, no, if we got an artificial tree, I'd be really upset.
Oh, my God. My heart just grew six sizes for Brad Geiger. That's amazing.
And it's like, yeah, she goes, she was willing to sign off on it finally because she's like, yeah, well, she says, we're not going to use the one in the basement. We'll go and get a new artificial tree that actually looks nice. But no, I'm like, nah, you know what? I like the smell. If we get one of the good ones, yeah, it's a nice thing to have in the house. So it looks like we're going to go to our Christmas lot and get a tree this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I know we don't normally do this, but I want to take a lesson out of this, which is that, like, okay, A, first of all, marriage changes you because the things that at first annoy you, you end up coming to love, and then you miss them when they're taken away from you.
Yeah.
The second thing is that with habit comes great patterns that you can apply to your cartooning. So I don't know why I got all excited to apply that to it, but the idea that, like, if you continue to do something, you actually come to love it, even the things that you dislike. So the schedules, the deadlines, all that. So, Brad, you've brought us the true spirit of Christmas, Brad, on this Comic Lab by teaching us that our cartooning is a lot like a natural Christmas tree.
It truly is. That's the true spirit of Christmas, having pain and getting used to it.
Well, on that note, my friend, I will say hello, everybody, and welcome to Comic Lab, the show about the true spirit of Christmas and making comics.
And the true spirit of Christmas and making a living from comics. I'm Brad Geiger, editor of webcomics.com and cartoonist of Evil Inc.
And I'm longtime Christmas tree lover Dave Kellett, cartoonist of Drive and Sheldon and co-director of Stripped.
And this week's Hour of Comics Advice is made possible by your support at patreon.com/comiclab. And Dave, let's talk comics.
Let's talk comics, my friend. So we've got a big one to jump right into this week that we got right out of Patricon, and it's the idea of a special offer. You want to tell folks what the special offer is, Brad?
So at Patricon, they were really hot on this special offer. And what it is you set up something that you say it's very similar to a milestone reward, but it's a little bit more codified and a little bit more solidified than a milestone. You say, for example, everyone that signs up this month, by the end of the month, you will get a certain prize that's only available to these people during this time. In other words, it's got to have scarcity. It's got to have a certain element of exclusivity. But you say everybody that signs up, and it's open to old people and new people. In other words, the people that just signed up this month and the people that are already existing patrons. Everybody at this level and higher is going to get XYZ reward. And you can set it, and Patreon has a way that you can set it up in your Patreon page so that at those tiers, there's a little lightning bolt reversed out of a yellow rectangle that says that there's a special offer involved at these tiers. So they kind of tart up your Patreon page to show that there's
tart up your Patreon page.
Yes. Back when I worked in newspapers, I worked with a newspaper editor who was constantly asking me to tart up my graphics. Could you tart up that driver's license illustration?
It's a great phrase, and it made sense, but it also sounds like a Victorian prostitute getting ready for their day. Like, well, time to tart myself up.
Excuse me, I'm getting all tarted up for the day.
I say, Marigold, are you getting tarted up to start your day?
That's what the rouge is for, Eleanor.
So they tart up your, now I'm saying it, darn it. So they get your page all special. You got me to say it, darn it. Okay, I'll keep going. I cut you off with my Victorianism.
Well, they put special displays on your page, and then you've got something, obviously, to promote throughout the month or for as long as you're doing it. They suggest doing it for a couple of weeks. I would agree with that. I don't think this needs to be as long as a Kickstarter campaign.
Agreed.
And the whole thing that you're drumming up, along with scarcity, is urgency. In other words, you're saying to people, you've got to do this thing by XYZ date or else you don't get the special exclusive reward.
Right.
And so along with scarcity, you're building urgency. So really, like 2 weeks tops is what I'm going to say for the special reward. And so then what happens, of course, just like a Kickstarter campaign, you get a whole bunch of people signing up on the first day. You get a smattering throughout the middle. And then on the last day, you do a big countdown. You make a big deal about it on social media. And you get a ton of new signups on the last day for people who are like, oh, geez, I got to do this right now or else I'm going to miss out. And depending on the scarcity and exclusivity and, you know, the quality of your reward, and I'm going to suggest, as always, you stick with digital rewards, you can really do nicely. And Patreon was hot on this at the conference, weren't they, Dave?
I would say they were hot on it. Yes. Your phrasing today, I don't know why it's cracking me up. They were hot on this.
They were hot on this. They came in
hot to trot. All right. So, no, they were really big. And I think looking back on it now, having tried it, which we're going to tell you about in a minute, but having tried it, I see why, because it adds a little extra zhuzh to your, listen to me, a little extra zhuzh to your Patreon campaign. And like Brad said, you have both exclusivity in availability and exclusivity in a deadline. And those two together are like the 1-2 punch of making people who are legitimately on the fence for months about joining your Patreon.
Yeah.
They decide to go all in. And it's great for that very reason alone, because there's more people than you think that are on the edge of joining you for Patreon. And this one little special offer is enough to nudge them over. So I'm gonna take the floor for a minute, Brad. I'm gonna tell people. So the example that they gave us was Amanda Palmer, the musician and artist, was one of their first beta test cases.
Mm-hmm.
As was another singer that they talked about, but I'm gonna focus on Amanda Palmer. And the way she did it was, everybody that joins by November 15th, I don't remember what the date was.
Yeah.
Everybody that joins by November 15th is gonna get a signed art card from Amanda Palmer.
Right.
And what they were going to do is they were going to collect everybody's addresses. Everybody that was joined by that date, no matter where they were in the world, got a signed art card. And they grew their Patreon levels, I think it was by 50%, right, Brad? Mm-hmm.
It was a marked increase.
Right. So Brad and I are sitting there going, wow, that's amazing. And then our immediate thought, as soon as we heard this, was like, we are never mailing out anything to anybody.
No.
Because you're asking for a world of hurt as soon as you introduce the logistics of mail into a special offer. So Brad and I, over coffee after PatreonCon, were like, all right, so digital. It was like an immediate agreement that like the only thing we would offer would be digital. And so we jumped in on this because Patreon gave a lot of stats about this. And a big key one that they hit again and again over PatreonCon weekend was that if you can get people to stay past the 2 and 3 month point, the odds of them sticking around jump dramatically.
Right.
But if you lose them, you're most likely going to lose them between the before the 2 and 3rd month, the second and third month roll around. So this special offer, though, Brad, also had the ability to do what in that regard?
According to what they were saying, if I heard them right, but I'm pretty sure I zeroed in on this. They said, according to their metrics, that people that come in through special offers tended to stick around longer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's something of human nature about that, is because you've walked into a party and someone immediately handed you a drink, right?
Yeah.
So you walked into PatreonCon and someone immediately handed you this special offer item, whatever it is. And you're like, well, this seems like a nice place. And also you have a vague sense of gratitude, even though you're paying to join that Patreon.
Right.
And so I think there's a good psychological case for the fact that the special offer cements the goodwill that they had for your work. and keeps them around a little bit longer. But anyway, so Brad and I decided to jump in on this. And Brad, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first and tell about, how about what we decided to do?
So, so I was going to say we should talk about some things that we did right and some things that we both screwed up and we learned so people can learn from our mistakes. But
right.
the first thing that I think we both did right is that we chose a digital reward. And more importantly, we chose a digital reward that didn't require a lot of extra effort. Because let's face it, if you're doing an exclusivity based Patreon campaign, then most of your time is going to be spent doing exclusives for your backers. And if you're doing a support based, then you're going to be doing a lot of work that goes out in the public to generate those backers that are coming in to support the thing you do. Getting sidetracked by building a reward for something like this may not be in your best interest, especially until you see whether it's really hitting for your audience. So I think Dave and I would both strongly suggest make this something that you don't have to do a lot of extra work for. And for Dave, this was collecting a bunch of interstitial pages for his drive book. Is that a good way to put it? There were like encyclopedia pages and map pages that had been appeared in the drive books that you're just collecting and putting them all in one place for the first time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the sort of descriptor that I hung on it was that it was a reference manual. So it was all the encyclopedias, all the timelines, all the maps, everything that you would find sort of in the reference section of a library that goes along with Drive. And for those that are not familiar with Drive, what these are is they're basically like found pages inside the story of Drive. So there's comics, 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 and then there will be a found document or a found page from some book that exists in that universe. And so what I did is I collected all these books into a 55 page ebook. And like Brad said, low hanging fruit, nothing new needed to be created. I did draw one thing special that I've since spun out into a poster. So that, as we said, you draw something once and you get paid for it three different ways. So I spun that out into something else. It was kind of low hanging and I think fun fruit for my wonderful assistant Beth to put that ebook together and have it ready to go. And frankly, the way we see it now is that can be an evergreen product if we update this every 1 or 2 years and offer it on Patreon. So it's not like it goes by the wayside, even though you can no longer get it. There'll be a second edition, in a year or two. And I think that's a fun idea.
And this was a nice hefty ebook. It was 55 pages, right?
Yeah, it was good size. And there was enough exclusivity to it where my positioning of this publicly was it's never been offered before and it will never exist to anywhere else other than Patreon. And the only time you can get it is on Thanksgiving Day if you're a Patreon backer.
Right.
You know what? Actually, that raises a point that I think we should mention too.
Oh,
so both Brad and I picked Thanksgiving Day as the final. And there's a lot to comment about that. And one of them is it's really nice to frame it that you're getting an exclusive, but it's also framed in the mood of gratitude. And so Thanksgiving was good for that. But it's also Thanksgiving Day is a nice little memory mnemonic to be like, oh, I've got to do it by Thanksgiving. Oh, I've got to go join that Patreon. It's easy to remember. So if you do this and you say like everybody that's joined up by the 4th of July or everybody that's joined up by Labor Day, it's a kind of a nice way to do it. Or you could make it, and this might be easier, everybody that's joined up by the end of the month. Some little easy to clip on marketing tag that lets people know you got to do it by XYZ date. Don't you think, Brad?
Well, let's talk about that because that's where I made my biggest mistakes. Okay. It was that at number one, if I were to do this again, I wouldn't do it on any day other than the end of the month. And that's because my Patreon pays out at the end of the month. I don't have pay up front. For a lot of reasons that I think I've already gone into in previous episodes, but I don't do pay up front and for a really thought out reason. What happens is by doing it on Thanksgiving, I open myself up for potential fraud from people who sign up, download the reward, and then cancel their pledge before the end of the month. And I've got to say, it hasn't happened. It's been a few days since Thanksgiving. Hasn't happened yet. I'm very hopeful that it doesn't happen a lot. I know I'll probably get one or two. But in the future, one thing I'm going to learn from this experience is that I'm not going to have the reward offered until the end of the month. That way, when everybody's cards gets charged, and also like Patreon has the special offer fulfillment baked into their software.
Right.
So,
right.
So I'm like, oh, great. I'm just going to have Patreon software fulfill the rewards, send out all the links to everybody that gets it, et cetera, et cetera. And I went in there and it says, oh, yeah, this isn't available until the end of the month when everybody's cards gets chosen or gets charged. And I had already said that you're going to get this stuff on Thanksgiving Day. So I had to fulfill them manually, which wasn't a big deal. I used the expiring Dropbox links system that I talked about on Pro Tips an episode or two back. But yeah, that's one thing I've learned from is that I definitely want to make sure that this reward gets fulfilled on the last day of the month and not a day earlier. And the other thing I learned, Dave, is we have to be very careful about how we word this reward. Did you have the same problems I had?
Well, no, it sounds like I did much better in every respect than you did.
That's really infuriating to hear because I copy and pasted your tweet. I copy and pasted your announcement, and I just changed out Drive for Evil Inc. and used your exact wording, and I had so many people confused. I got an email this morning from somebody who was confused about what they were getting, how they were going to get it, and all this other stuff. And it's because I copied you, and you're not having any problems?
I'm just imagining Stan Laurel, like, lifting his hat and going, So unlike Brad, I have pay up front turned on my Patreon, and I would advise it, and Patreon would advise it. And so Brad has good reasons for why he doesn't do it, and he's elucidated those in the past. But I have it turned on, and Patreon in general recommends that you have it turned on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any smart, well-meaning person that is savvy has it turned on.
You
and
dirty
so
bird.
I'm not referencing anyone in particular. But no, so I have it turned on, and what that for me, I didn't have that problem that Brad had. My special offer ended on Thanksgiving. And as Brad said, it's sort of the special offer software, the algorithm kicks in and goes, hey, your special offer just ended. Now it's time to send out your thing. Sent it out, bada bing, bada boom, all said and all done. So, but if you do not have pay upfront turned on your Patreon, Brad is right. Better to do it at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And to Brad's second point, yes, confusion is absolutely possible with people because this is new and you a little bit have to hold their hand through the idea of like, wait, so is this a Kickstarter or what is this?
Yeah.
And when do I get this? What am I getting? How do I get it? Can I do it if I go the day after? What's going on here? And so there was a little bit of handholding there and you just have to kind of politely talk your way through it while still keeping your marketing language clipped and short so that it's exciting. Because you don't want to say... You don't want it to sound like one of those legal addendums at the end of an ad, you know, must be joined by November 33rd, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Ask your doctor if allopurination is right for you.
That's right. Because otherwise, if you don't handle it right, this is a little bit like what you're going to sound like.
The French champagne.
And you don't want to sound like that.
No. And for those that are wondering, yes, I did absolutely make that a repeatable audio clip for the show. And we got both his takes, so we also have this one.
I'm so glad we've got that at our beck and call now, because that is never not going to delight me.
Because you know those like morning drive time DJs that have like a cowbell or whatever they constantly go
yes.
to?
Yes, yes.
Now we have this.
And we're not afraid to use it.
And we're not afraid to use it.
So now what happened with me is my backers thought two things. They thought that they had to be signed up by Thanksgiving, which was accurate, but they thought that the links were only going to be sent out on Thanksgiving Day and they had to download them on Thanksgiving Day or else they wouldn't be able to use them. So there was something about how I worded that, that initial, and I'm telling you, I sent out the initial, I immediately got people saying, oh, wait a minute, you mean I've got to be there on Thanksgiving Day? And I responded in the post, no, you don't have to use these on Thanksgiving Day. I rewrote the post. You don't have to use these on Thanksgiving Day. I did a brisk marketing campaign based around the special order with social media, with more Patreon posts. Every one of them said, you don't have to download these on Thanksgiving Day. I got a dozen emails after Thanksgiving saying, I'm really upset I couldn't download my stuff because I wasn't there on Thanksgiving Day.
So I'm going to save everybody some trouble and I'll save future Brad some trouble. And no, this is not me being a jerk. Here's the language I use, which is, don't say anything like, I'm going to share the link or you're going to get the link on Thanksgiving Day or you're going to download it on Thanksgiving. Don't say anything like that. The language you want to use is, I'm going to be sending out blankety blank on such and such a date. And by using the active verb where you're doing the heavy lifting, where I'm sending out, your readers immediately go, okay, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to get it. It's like a package. Dave is sending it out. Yep. So don't say anything about downloads or links, or don't confuse anybody. They'll figure it out as soon as they get the email. But
no, you're absolutely right.
Just say the active verb I'm sending out, and then they'll know that they're getting it on whatever day they're going to get it on.
Like,
put the heavy lifting on your verbiage. Put the verb on you, not on them, and then you'll remove that problem.
And here's another thing I want to mention. And this, we've got to really give props to Patreon themselves for how they're rolling this out and the level of assistance they're putting for creators. When you push the button on your special offer and you launch your special offer through Patreon, they send you a packet. And it's very easy to read and it's very thorough. And it walks you all the way through what's going to happen next, how to do certain things. And it gives you marketing language that I ended up just copying and pasting.
Oh, yeah, Brad. Yes.
That package that they sent out, here's the deal. It's not unusual to get one of these packages from a provider when you're doing something like this. 9 chances out of 10, it's kindergarten level stuff, or it's stupid, or it's very short, and it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. This packet that Patreon sends out is marvelous. You can tell they put a ton of thought into it, and it's full of stuff that you can swipe and apply to yourself. And so when they sent that out, I immediately, they said, okay, here's some phrases you can use. And they also said, don't say stuff like this. You know, they told you what to avoid.
Right.
And then they said, here's some phrases you can use when you're talking about this.
Boy, was that helpful.
I literally copied and pasted that, and that it became my template for how I talked about this for the next several weeks. And it was spot on. And there was really little things, but it was stuff that would trip you up if you were trying this yourself. When you get that packet that Patreon emails you, don't discount that and don't discard it. Open it up and read it page for page. You'll be so happy that you did. They put tons and tons. You could see the work they put into that. Don't you think, Dave?
Oh, yeah. And in general, I'm going to go back to that language again and again with future Kickstarter and Patreon campaigns because it's so helpful and well thought out. So take a minute, go to find that page. And in fact, we'll put a link up on Patreon for you because the helpfulness that those, I don't know, 10 to 15 phrases gives you is it's a great insight and it's a really nice helping hand. So by all means, go grab those for your future social media campaigns. But now let's talk about the rubber hits the road. So Patreon said that you could conceivably grow your patronage by 50%, right? Uh-oh. And so Brad and I immediately are standing in our chairs and screaming, oh, captain, my captain.
Exactly.
And so, but anyway, so we try it, we do it. We do it for 10 days and we ended it on Thanksgiving. And here's why I want to reinforce to everybody why this is worth it. So in both of our cases, it's ebooks, it's pre-made art. We don't have to really do anything else. For me, it ended up being a 7% growth rate on my patrons over 10 days. And it constituted a $450 raise per month for my Patreon.
Holy
now,
cats.
I've lost two or three people since then.
Oh, did you lose some already?
Two or three, yeah. But overall, as of the day of Thanksgiving, I had gained 67 people. And so now I'm down to having gained 64 people. Oh, no, boo-hoo, right? Like, who cares? That's still amazing in gangbusters. So, and to Brad's earlier point and Patreon statistics, most of these people will stay around and stay around longer. So it's a gift that keeps on giving month in and month out, those additional 64 people.
Right.
So this is any work that I did putting together that ebook, or Beth did putting together that ebook, it's continuing to pay forward both in patrons month over month and the fact that I can use it again a year from now, 2 years from now in a revised edition. So I can't emphasize
That's
enough how
really cool.
What's that?
That's really cool.
What specifically? I'm sorry, you caught me off guard there.
That you got that kind of, you got a 5% bounce?
7% bounce.
7% is really awesome. I got closer to a 3% bounce, but it was, here's the deal. You look at it on Graftreon and you look at your, this was at the beginning of the month, right? Where my Patreon tends to go down and dip for a little while. We talked about the Patreon dip until it turns around and comes up at the end of the month.
Right.
And if you look at either one of us, and our Graftreon pages are publicly available. And you see, I think you announced yours on the 11th or the 12th, somewhere right in there, right?
Right, right.
And mine was on the 12th. And you see all of a sudden the sharp upshot in Patreon pledges. It's really significant.
Oh, yeah, you feel it. And, you know, the key with Patreon is you're going to lose a percentage every month. And then in my mind, and Brad, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I spend the next 10 to 15 days of the next month gaining back what I lost, and then the last 10 to 15 months of the days of the month are moving the notch forward. You know what I mean? Like raising it a tiny bit more.
Yeah.
That's always my goal every month with Patreon. First, make back what you lost, and then move it forward two or three people, right? That's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
So that it's always onward and upward. And so this special offer jumped me ahead by at least a half a dozen months in terms of growth. So I am super happy with how it turned out. And I highly, highly, highly recommend you do it on your own Patreon.
Yeah. And here's another thing that it did. So the question becomes, who's going to get the reward? And neither one of us made this available for our lowest tier members, right? This was something that you had to come in at the $5 level or higher. And that was the same for you, right?
Yes. And they recommend that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You want to kind of encourage people to come in at the higher levels. So my $5 level wasn't particularly robust, and what it did for me is it got me a whole bunch of $5 backers that wouldn't have come in otherwise. I don't think so. And now my opinion is, since I focus a lot on exclusivity, my opinion is now they're mine to lose, right? Either they're going to like what they get by being a $5 member, or if they leave, then I was the one who lost them, right?
Right.
And
right.
That,
yeah, it, that's
but
a great
now
way to say
I've got a whole bunch of $5 backers, and it also drove a significant amount of $10 backers, and it's a really nice influx of new blood into my Patreon. There was no significant downside. I'm going to say that so far, and I'm going to knock wood here because I haven't gotten to the end of the month, and there's still time for the fates to prove me wrong. But so far, I'm ready to call this a really big success. Now, the question is, Dave and I are talking about this on the phone, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to do a special offer for December. Because we were both, really, really excited. And we talked a few days after that. And I said, do you think it's a really good idea for me to do it in December? And we kind of came up with an opinion on that. And what did you say then, Dave?
I said that the very fact that this is called a special offer means that rarity has to be a kind of a guiding light here. And that if we do it too frequently, it becomes like Guitar Center putting guitars on sale every 2 weeks.
Right.
You know how Guitar Center, or like, you know, your local rug place that everything is always on sale every third week.
Yeah. And they're always going out of business.
They're always going out of business. Boy, what a tax dodge that is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're either going out of business and handing the company to their cousin, and then they go out of business and hand the company back to the other cousin. Anyway, so if it's every week or if there's regularity to it, it's no longer special. And the only reason this works is because much like a Black Friday sale, timely, you want it to be unique and once a year or once every 6 months. And I think, Brad, wouldn't you say like at most once every 6 months you could do this?
I would say that, yeah, I'd say 6 months is a really good yardstick for this. I don't think you want to trot this one out any more often than that, because then it does become a little bit trite. And also, you want to give yourself a really, like my reward was download links to all 10 Evil Inc. graphic novels, which was the complete Evil Inc. library as far as the graphic novels go. That's a pretty good chunk. It's going to be a little while before I can build up rewards that are going to be at that level again. And so it might also be just practicality that says, you know, hold off 6 months until you can build up another really big reward in your archives. And maybe that's for the best.
And frankly, I'll add this to it. When you do your second one, don't make it the same rewards. It's got to be a different pitch, because you want people to go, oh, this is a one-time thing. And if I miss this, it's never coming back. So make it unique, make it special, make it different than the last one. But in general, though, it's kind of a can't lose proposition, because if nothing else, it gives you a chance to talk about your Patreon for 10 days to 14 days, something like that.
Yes.
You're getting fresh eyeballs. You're engendering goodwill with the people that you already have as patrons, because now they're getting something extra and special and unique. And as Brad and I found, it is the tipping point. In fact, I got emails, Brad, that said, God, Dave, I've been thinking about helping you out on Patreon for a while, and this, you finally got me. It was a lot of those kind of like winking, like, use SOB. This is what pushed me over the edge. Yeah. I'm joining for this thing.
But then that's where you come in with your Bonjuro approach that we've strongly endorsed as well. And this is a really good opportunity for when you send that Bonjuro, say look into the camera and say, I'm so thrilled that you're backing me, because it gives me an opportunity to say happy Thanksgiving, and that I'm really thankful that people like you are out there supporting this comic and blah, blah, blah. That's powerful stuff. And it gives you the perfect opening to say that and cement that relationship. Now you got them.
And now again, it's personal.
Now that they're yours to lose, right?
Right, right. It's just like my friendship with Brad. Now that I've got him, he's mine to lose. I just got to hold him tight. Him tight.
You know, Dave, are we pretty much nearing the end of this topic? Because I've got a little pivot that I'm really interested in throwing at you.
I thought you were going to say, are we nearing the end of this friendship? Because I've got to go. I've got a thing that
I
need to
telling
get to.
You, I've been mulling this over, and we're done. No, you mentioned Black Friday, and I want to get your thoughts on this real quick. Let's pivot over to Black Friday, because I think it's got bigger implications, and I want to hear what your thoughts are. In the Patreon-only Discord server for Comic Lab, one of our backers brought up this topic. He says, I'm doing a Black Friday sale, and I'm so excited about it. I want to do it early. This was like Monday or something.
Okay.
And he goes, I want to get started. I want to do my Black Friday's offer on Monday and have it go throughout till, you know, the following Cyber Monday or what have you. And he says, is this a bad idea? What do you think, Dave? Something like a Black Friday sale, is it okay to open that early?
Well, Brad, I'm so glad you asked this, because we hadn't talked about this beforehand, but I actually do have a lot of thoughts about this. Here's the thing with a Black Friday sale is that you're basically catching people as their minds pivot away from Thanksgiving towards Christmas, and they're like, oh boy, I got about 15 people I need to shop for, right? Like that's basically why Black Friday and Cyber Monday work, right? Because you're getting them after a holiday as they think towards the next holiday. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, though, here's the thing. On a lot of levels, you can't compete with Amazon or Costco or Walmart or Target or any of their like hugely blanketing Black Friday commercials. So
Right.
If you do something like, hey, it's Black Friday week, or it's a Cyber Monday sales week, or, you know, you do Small Business Saturday or whatever they call it, I'm all for it because, first of all, the frequency with which people check your site or your social media or your Facebook or Tumblr or whatever it is going to be less frequent than what the email reminders they get from Amazon or Costco or Walmart or anything like that. So, keep it special, keep it exclusive, keep it a deadline approach, but stretch it out over a couple of days. Absolutely. That's what I would recommend because you're going to get people on there after they've gone to the big sales. You'll get them. Brad, what is your thought? I'm imagining that I'm about to be attacked. I'm like a scared fox and there's a bear. He's coming towards me.
Disagree. I disagree with you. I disagree.
All right. That's fine.
I think it's about urgency. And if you have a sale that stretches on for an entire week, it's much less urgency than if you do it for like a 24-hour period. And for something like a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday type of sale, I think the key word there is urgency, that you want to get them to do it on this one day. And if it's something like the special offer we just got done talking about, that's kind of a bigger reward, and I can see the idea of letting that go on for a couple of weeks. But for something like a Black Friday sale, where it's obviously a much smaller thing, it's more sales-oriented. In other words, you're saying you're going to get 25% off this thing, you're going to get 50% off this thing. That is urgency that I think is better distilled into 24 hours.
Well, okay. So I want to immediately amend my answer. We can play that game that of Dave was an idiot.
Do we have that theme song for Dave is an idiot?
Oh, the new game that we're playing.
The
sure,
new game I can put show, the. Yeah.
All right, sure. All right, you've been listening to Dave is an idiot. That's right. It's the hip new game that's sweeping the nation. Dave is an idiot. He thought he was answering correctly, but Brad set him straight. That's right, ladies, kids, friends of all ages, it's time to tune in to Dave is an Idiot with your host, an idiot. All right, go ahead, Brad.
We've got some lovely parting gifts for you, Dave.
That's right.
But luckily, they're going to be available to you all week long.
I'm realizing as you speak, as the words come out of your mouth, that I completely described a 180 on what I actually did for Black Friday, which is, here's what I do every year. I do a thing called 3 days, three deals, and it starts on Black Friday. It goes on to Saturday and Sunday, and every day is a 24-hour deal that lasts on the Sheldon site. And the idea with 3 days, three deals is that if you didn't like today's deal, you should check in again tomorrow because it's going to be another 24-hour deal. And so the first one is, it's usually a book bundle that's a little bit, it's got 25% off, 30% off, something that's enticing, right? The next day, I did $50 off of my original art. So my originals normally go for $130. They sold for $80 on the day on that Saturday, right? And then the Sunday was a free sketch in any book ordered from my store on this Sunday. Those were my 3 days of three deals. And they each lasted 24 hours. And I will be honest that this year was less impressive in terms of sales. But the reason for that is going into Thanksgiving, all of my marketing cannons were aimed at my Patreon special offer.
Right.
And this goes back to a topic that I talked about. Maybe it was on a pro tips for our Patreon backers, but I talked about how you have to have a marketing calendar and you can't be serving two gods at once. You have to either pick your Kickstarter or your Patreon or your sale on your store. You can't have two things going at once. So I wisely chose my Patreon because that was a longer term play. And so my Thanksgiving sales and specials didn't do as well this year, but that's fine. But anyway, to answer your question, Brad, about should it be short? The answer is Dave is an idiot. Brad was right. Brad Geiger of Philadelphia, PA, you go home with this beautiful new fireplace. That's right. Something for you and the missus to curl up on those cold, cold Philly nights when a little bit of wine and a little bit of love brings you what you need.
Promotional consideration provided by Rice-A-Roni. Rice-A-Roni is the San Francisco treat.
Isn't that amazing? Like, that so speaks to who they were marketing to, that the promotional consideration was Rice-A-Roni. It's like, not exactly appealing.
It wasn't a Lexus.
Not exactly appealing to the upper crust, cigar aficionado subscriber. Yeah.
Dump some water into this. He didn't need it.
Yeah. Hey, do your kids like to eat? Here's Rice-A-Roni, you dickhead. Go ahead, eat that. Anyway, you've been watching Circle Meets a Square. Here we go.
So, Dave, we've done that topic pretty well, and I think we've got some $5 Patreon backers that want to ask questions, and I've got one right here in front of me to read if you'd like to hear the $5 question.
All right. Not only do I want to hear it, I want to hear it in the most sultry Brad Geiger tones that you can muster.
Oh, you're asking for it. Here it is.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. I'd like to know, what's it like being the most handsome member of Comic Lab? Dave, this one's clearly written for you. How do you answer that?
Now, Brad, hold on. Do you have a mirror nearby? This is a question written for you, my friend.
No, I've got a mirror written. I've got a mirror nearby, and it's cracked.
I saw the joke coming, and I still giggled at it. That's amazing.
You know my problem? I'll never be able to do stand-up, because when I get a situation like that, I get so excited I start stuttering. It's like, oh, I know the joke here. I've got a mirror, and it's cracked, and I can't say it for the life of me because I start stuttering. I'm spitting all over. I'll never be a good stand-up.
It's delightful when set me up with anything, Brad, and just imagine that I'm Brad Geiger, and I see a joke possibility, a vaudeville joke possibility because of something that Dave has said. You be Dave, and I'll be Brad. Here we go.
Hey, Brad. Well, who's that lady I saw you out with last night?
God damn it. All right.
And then just as you're about to run out of breath, you go, that was no lady. That was my wife. I'll never be a good stand-up. But what is it like being the most handsome member of Comic Lab?
So really, this was a genuine $5 question?
This was a $5 question. Somebody who has paid $5 to know the answer to how does it feel being the most handsome member of Comic Lab?
Well, first of all, I want to welcome your mother as a new $5 backer of Patreon. So sweet of her to support her boy, both with the Patreon support and this question.
Yeah, well, you know, I convinced her. She was at the $10 level on my Patreon, and I said, you know, you're going to be more comfortable being a Comic Lab backer. I was getting a lot of uncomfortable questions.
I think I, as is true with a lot of cartoonists on an average day, I think we have perfect voices for a podcast and perfect faces to also be on a podcast.
Yes. Yeah. I think you're right.
I think I've got a 3-day stubble right now. Let's say I'm not dressed to impress. That's one way to describe it. And my hair looks like a cat needed a litter box.
You can do stubble? It takes me months to work up to stubble. My hair grows so patchy and so slow. I don't have to shave but like once a week or so. I'd love to have stubble. I would kill to have stubble.
Wow. Well, hold on. Now I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder and say that in the years ahead, you're going to start noticing some changes in your body, Brad. Now your voice is going to get a little deeper and a little richer. And you're going to start spotting some changes in spots around your body that you didn't have before. But that's natural.
Does this have something to do with the fact that I've gotten a lot more intimate with my pillow?
Oh, God. Oh, all right. Wow. That's the show for this week.
Oh, God. This has been another episode of Let's Embarrass Dave Kellett. Dave Kellett. Dave Kellett is here. The first person to make him blush a nice, healthy shade of crimson gets his new car. Dave, are you ready to play our game?
I am, Mr. Geiger. I'm ready to play.
All right. Here's our first word. Titular. Titular.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. You're like, here's our first visual clue. That's right. It's the Renaissance painter Titian. And you're like, oh, God.
and the new Christmas song, Le Tits Now.
God.
Oh, shucks.
My God.
Well, I think the answer has got to be in terms of being the most handsome comic lab host. We've got to cede that to somebody else. Who else can we give that to? Maybe go ahead.
I was going to say any guest that's ever come on the show, they are the handsomest one. And on that note, Brad, I'm gonna pivot us to our next $5 question because I think this is a good one, and it's one actually when it came across the transom, I was excited to talk about this with you because I think we're both gonna have a lot of thoughts about it. So
yeah,
Dave and Brad. I was looking at fellow not suitable for work creators here on Patreon and saw that they were releasing books on both Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Do you recommend this? I only do Kickstarters at this point, and even just doing that is overwhelming at times. But if I could get maybe double the eyes on what I'm doing, it might be worthwhile. What are your opinions on this? Brad Geiger, go, because I'm ready to jump on this, so I want to hear your
really?
Thoughts first.
Well, yes. this was really interesting to me, and I'll tell you why. Because back in the day, that was actually something that you were told to look out for. If you were running a successful Kickstarter, and I remember writing this up for webcomics.com, the advice was, if you're doing well on Kickstarter, you got to start tracking Indiegogo, because the fraud back then was to launch it, take all of your assets and to launch a Indiegogo campaign with your stuff, keep the money. And of course, when the prizes don't get fulfilled and the rewards don't get fulfilled, they go coming to you for the rewards. So there was a fraud going on that was exactly for a long time. And so that's the first thing I thought. But then I went and I checked it out. And indeed, this person is he's promoting an Indiegogo at the same time as Kickstarter. And so there's a couple of things that happened right at the same time. Immediately, I rejected it. Well, that's a stupid thing to do. And then I'm like, well, maybe it's just stupid because I don't understand the angle. And so I started thinking about what that angle would be. What angle would put me in a situation where I would want to do this both at the same time?
I want to hear about your angle. This is great.
Here's my angle.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to pull up a chair real close. I want every bit of information about this angle.
Dave, here's my angle. No, my angle is this. This would work. This would actually work if you had already bought the books and you're not really doing a fundraiser or a pre-order for the books. You've already funded the books either through paying out of pocket or taking out a loan. And now what you're really doing is just selling the books. And I do know that this happens on Kickstarter. In fact, Dave, we've got a really nice Patreon backer who's been taking some time to explain Instagram to me because I'm still clueless. And he's been really super helpful and thoughtful. And this is something that this person is doing, or maybe even has done, but they and I don't not necessarily the running two at the same time, but paying up front and having the books in hand and then launching the Kickstarter. So if you did something like that, which by the way, I could never do. I don't know that I would recommend that to anybody.
Nope. Yep.
I could never do it myself, and that also precludes something that I've said for a long time, that a Kickstarter campaign is free market research, and if your Kickstarter doesn't go over, that tells you one of two things. Either you're not ready for the market, or the market's not ready for you, and you can address that. That's not a failure. That's a starting place, not an ending place. But I would never do it. But at the same time, if somebody is in a position that they feel confident that they could do it, then I could see them running a Kickstarter at the same time as they run an Indiegogo. Would I want to do it? No, siree, Bob. Dave, what's your angle?
Oh, I've got... Brad, I am so excited to share my angle with you.
Share with me the dangle of your angle.
All right, don't take it an extra step.
And it's another episode.
The joke was that it was obscure enough where we could passively get by it with a high. You didn't have to...
No, I never settle for subtle. I always go for sledgehammer.
All right. Well, now that I'm blushing. All right. So I think this is a terrible idea. And yeah. I think this is not what you want to do. And I think for all the reasons that I was just explaining before about training your marketing cannon at one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I think this is a bad reason. First of all, I think Indiegogo as a platform is going to bring you at best 2 to 3% more eyeballs than Kickstarter would alone.
Agreed.
And that's at best. I still think Indiegogo is more of a backwater system. It feels like there's somebody, Indiegogo always feels like somebody's like, my wheelbarrow lost a wheel and I need to get a new wheelbarrow wheel. Help me on Indiegogo, launch my new product called Socks. It's just
literally
socks.
A step above GoFundMe.
Yeah, it's emotionally, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
My dog Rufus needs a new tooth. Anyway, so that has been my recurring character, Buford the Hick, who runs an Indiegogo campaign. I'll be touring him around the country in my new show. I think it's a bad idea because you can't train your marketing cannon at two things. You can't, like, imagine what this tweet is going to read like.
Right.
Guys, I'm so excited to launch my new Evil Ink book. Oh, it's amazing. It's going to be great. It's 200 pages, full color, and it's only $20. Come join us here on Twitter or on Kickstarter. Link, 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 link. Or also on Indiegogo. Link, 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 right. Link, link. Like, you're adding confusion. So people are like, wait, do you want me to back you on Twitter or Kickstarter and Indiegogo?
Right.
Oh, no, no, no. You can pick either one. Well, then why don't you just do one? Because I might get 2% more eyeballs if I also do Indiegogo. Okay,
yeah.
Why am I being linked to both of them? Do I have to
choose? Listen to his question. And this, I'm telling you, your words always give you away. And when you start hearing, it's not a bad thing to write down a question like this. Like even if you're not going to send it into a podcast or something, write it down and then look at it because your words always give you away. Listen to how he said it. He said, if I could get twice as many eyes on my project, because his logic is if I'm putting it in two places, I have twice as many eyes. Well,
that
is assuming that Indiegogo's comics potential audience is as big as Kickstarter's and that Indiegogo's discovery is as big as Kickstarter's. It's making a lot of assumption. It's that whole, that's back in the day when we talked ourselves into making really dumb decisions and we'd say stuff like, well, that's a dollar I didn't have or that's a reader that I didn't have. Well, that's a dumb reason to make a decision is that you get a dollar that you didn't have. And there's a lot more to life than getting a dollar that you didn't have. That's when I saw that, it's like, no, you're not, that's a fallacy. You're not opening yourself up to twice as many eyes. And the downside of it is that you may be diluting your messaging.
Yes, diluting and maybe even, I'm going to go a little bit stronger, maybe even scaring some people away because they're like, what is this unfocused thing that Brad is doing? Why? Brad doesn't seem like he seems a little discombobulated in his messaging. You know what I mean? Like the message is itself a mark of surety and command of a situation. Mm-hmm. So if you have a marketing message that says, or you could back me on Twitter or Facebook or Kickstarter or Indiegogo, or if you could throw $10 at me as you drive by on the street, you know, like all of that smacks of desperation, not surety. And so you might actually dilute the strength of your message by having it across two different distributed fundraising platforms.
I'll go one better. It looks shady to me. When you say you can back it on Kickstarter and Indiegogo, that looks shady to me. I don't have confidence in the person running that campaign. Because it's like, what angle are you working? Maybe that's my generation, maybe that's my age. But when I saw that, the first reaction was, nah, this guy's up to something.
Yeah, Brad said it so much better than I did. Listen to Brad. The basic thing here is that Kickstarter succeeded in part because not only were they first out of the gate, but they did it really well and they continue to do it really well. They execute really well. And there's now an existing market. And so you'll get somewhere between 2 and 10% of your backers from Kickstarter. And I don't know that Indiegogo... I mean, I'm willing to be wrong, but I don't know that their user base is anything approaching Kickstarter, and I don't think it will give you more than a few dozen eyeballs. And in the meantime, like Brad said, you'll either be giving people a shifty feeling because you are on two different platforms, or you'll just be confusing them, which is equally bad. In both cases, you'll kind of lose them as a backer. So yeah. I think Brad and I are right. I don't know where I'm going with that. I just think go strong, go with Kickstarter. There's a lot of things to complain about in life, but Kickstarter as a platform is not one of them. They do it right.
Yeah.
And so just do Kickstarter.
And think about what you're doing by diluting your branding with Indiegogo. Because at this point, I'd say it's pretty fair to say that everybody understands that Indiegogo is only there. The only reason that Indiegogo exists is that it's Kickstarter, but you don't have to meet your goal. And you still get the money.
Right.
Everybody knows that that's the whole buy-in for Indiegogo is that you don't have to meet your goal. Well, by taking your product to Indiegogo, by doing that, you're almost saying that you don't have confidence in your product, that you're willing to get any scrap of money you possibly can, even if you don't meet your goal and you put yourself into the hole trying to, fund this thing. I wouldn't let Indiegogo anywhere near my branding because it's desperation. It stinks of desperation to me.
Right.
To me, that's just my opinion. But I wouldn't let my branding near it.
Brad, the way you described that gave me a sentence construction that I think is helpful here. You're like, Indiegogo is just Kickstarter where you don't have to make your goal. You don't have to do what you achieve to do. And
yeah.
For me, the way to summarize that is Indiegogo is Kickstarter for losers. That's literally what it is.
You're not wrong.
It's someone who literally did not make their goal. And they're like, but I'll still take your $5. I'm happy to take it. Listen. So as far as branding goes, Kickstarter is about surety. It's about confidence. It's about, look, we made the goal. We're making this widget. Whereas Indiegogo is like, well, we didn't make the $10,000 goal, but with the $1,000, we're so close to starting the project, you know?
Yeah. And you got to get over this whole thing. I know that there's people listening to this podcast right now that may have had a Kickstarter that didn't fund, maybe only got halfway there. And it didn't fund, and you're smarting from it. You're upset, and you may be ashamed. You might feel like a failure. And I'm gonna speak directly to you right now and say, get over it. It's not a failure. It was a learning experience. And if you allow it to define you as a failure, then you're making a really big mistake. And you need to have more faith in yourself as a creator.
Not only is it not a failure, Brad, can I take it even one step further?
Go.
I did Sheldon books back in the day where before Kickstarter, you had no idea how many things to order. So I've talked about this before, but I had a book called Still Got It. I still have it because I still got it. I ordered too damn many of these because I couldn't market test it through Kickstarter. So not only is it not a failure to have Kickstarter not succeed, here's the important thing. You are actually saving yourself from failure by having the market say, you know what, that's good, but I'm not really interested in it. And then you go, okay, great. I didn't waste $5,000 making this thing like Dave Kellett did in 2009 with Still Got It, which is still in my garage. So so take a lesson from me. Not only is it not a failure, it's a beautiful market test about which of your ideas, not the one idea you have, but which of your ideas have legs.
Yeah, yeah. And that really is that I know like putting myself again in the shoes of somebody that maybe didn't get their Kickstarter goal and you're listening to these two guys talking and maybe they sound condescending and untrue, but I'm telling you right now, this is a learning experience. Take that, turn it around. Nobody remembers except for you that you didn't get your last Kickstarter, and use that to learn from it and come back real strong. And thank goodness that you're not like Dave over there with Still Got It. You're not like me with Evil Inc. Volume 3, which is my exact same story that I got way more than I ever needed and are still in the basement. That was a learning experience. Don't let that bring you down. Yeah, that's something. That's not the last chapter. That's the first chapter of your story. Get over it. Okay? You can come back from that.
That's a great way to summarize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a moment to mark in time where you go, okay, what is the lesson? What can I pivot with? What worked? What didn't work? And then go from there.
Brad's right.
It's the start of the story. It's not the end of the story. That's a great way to describe that, Brad. That's great. Yeah. Brad, you're great. You're a great person, Brad.
I think you're absolutely right.
So then we all agree that Brad wins most handsome host of Comic Lab.
Yes, yes. Only if you're grading on a curve. So listen, Dave, I think we've got time for one more question. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say no, but you know what? Your voice is so delightful and warm and soothing. I'm ready to jump into another question. Hit me, Brad.
You want to do one more question? I think we can do this relatively quickly, or at least my answer this was a quick one. What's your stance on offering cameos of people or their original characters as higher tier Kickstarter or one-time Patreon rewards?
Well,
what do you think of that?
First of all, I love Kickstarter. I think that's a good.
I didn't think you were going to catch that. That's right up there with Dratmax.
I love it when the Chicago in you comes out. It's great. Oh, Kickstarter! It's going to be great. Hold on, let me put down my kielbasa here, and I'm gonna take this. I was going to use Indiegogo, but now I'm going to use Kickstarter. It's just better.
Oh, sure. I thought I slipped that past you.
So, Brad, let me ask you, what's your stance on Kickstarter? Let me answer this question seriously. So what is my stance on offering cameos or people's characters appearing in your comic, either as a Kickstarter reward or as a Patreon reward? Okay, so I have two very different answers to this.
Yeah.
I am anti anyone else's characters ever appearing in my comics. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bad idea. You're breaking the fourth wall. And it's weird, unless for whatever reason you have a comic that already kind of breaks the fourth wall. Right. I'm trying to think of something like
Deadpool.
Pearls Before Swine already kind of breaks the fourth wall every once in a while. So more natural there. But I personally have been okay in the past with offering cameos for walk-on characters that I need to advance the story. But otherwise, it could have been anything that I drew. So why not make it one of my readers? I'm okay with that. However, even with this caveat, though, I messed up one time and made my readers too realistic for my drawing style in Drive. And everyone was like, what is happening? What's with these people? So now I've got to actually go back and iconicize them a little bit more because I made them too realistic. So with the caveat that I messed up in that one particular scenario, I'm okay with offering walk-on cameos of humans that needed to just appear for one or two panels, or in a background or in a crowd scene. But I'm not okay with characters. But Brad Geiger, what is your opinion between either Patreon or Kickstarter?
Patreon.
Passively offering a little whack on a roll for somebody in Evil Inc.
I'm going to take it in reverse order because he also said one-time Patreon reward. My opinion on that is the same as it's always been. I don't like one-time Patreon rewards. If you want a monthly Patreon pledge, you better be prepared to do a monthly Patreon reward. So the whole idea of anything that's a one-time reward on Patreon, I think, is not a great idea. I think you can do better. But the idea of putting people or cameos into your comic as perhaps maybe a Kickstarter reward, I don't like, for me. Now, if it's something that fits for you, if you're somebody who can do this well and it doesn't bother them, that's fine. But me, I don't like doing caricatures. I don't like, like when somebody says, here's a picture of me and my wife. I want you to draw us. Like I do artist edition sketches. And every now and again, I'll have somebody says, oh, I want you to do a caricature of me and the wife. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. I had one not too long ago. This actually happened, Dave. I said, as nicely as I could, I said, I don't do caricatures. And he says, oh, but this will be fun. And I really want you to do it. And I said, no, I don't like doing caricatures. I'm not good at doing caricatures. And you won't like the product when I do this caricature. You just won't. And he says, well, why aren't you good at it? And I said, well, it's just nothing that I spend a lot of time doing. It's not the thrust of my career. I don't really, you know, want to do that. And he says, well, maybe if you did this, you could look at it as practice. And I said,
what?
He says, maybe you just need more practice and this would be your opportunity to practice. And so I said, I'd really rather not do it. And he says, I'm going to send you the picture. He sends me his picture of him and his wife. Now, we just got done saying that neither Dave or I are magazine models. And this couple fit right in that same category. And I'm like, you guys, if I do a caricature, you're not going to like it. Because a caricature is going...
I'm seeing where this is going.
Caricature takes all of those little flaws. Like if you got little teeth and a lot of gums, or if you've got a weird hairline, or if there's a bushy eyebrow. Caricature takes all those and exploits them to the nth degree. And I'm like, you really don't want me to do a caricature. And the guy says, nope, I really want a caricature and you can use the practice. And so I did their caricatures and I caricatured the beans out of them. I did a real caricature and I sent them the sketch. And this was about a year and a half ago. Haven't heard back since.
Hold on. For the closure of this story, did you get the check first?
Oh, that's yeah. This was Kickstarter. They can have their caricature anytime they approve the sketch.
Oh, that okay. Yes, is it? All right. That's great.
I'm happy. Or if they want to change it, I'll change it. I'll do whatever they want. But I told them I don't do caricatures and I tried to tell him as nicely as I could, but I'm telling you when he came back with, well, maybe you just need more practice. It was game on. You want me to have practice? I'll practice on you and your wife.
that what a weird thing to say. That just sounds like a jerk uncle.
Oh,
well, I'm just
boy.
Telling you, Brad, maybe you need more practice. Thanks, Uncle Jerry. All right. Well.
Maybe you just need more practice. So no, I don't put myself in that position where I've got to draw people. It's not what I like. It's not what I do. I don't enjoy it. And I'm the same as Dave. I'm not putting your stupid character in my strip. None of that stuff is going to happen. Now, if that's me. If you're different and you can see that as being a Kickstarter reward and you like doing that, and maybe you're good at doing caricatures and stuff like that, then whatever floats your boat. I don't see a problem with it. But me personally, I wouldn't do anything like that. And again, you're kind of opening yourself up for Dave's problem where he puts this thing in his strip and now he looks at it and he's like, God, I wish I hadn't have done that. And I've got to redo it. And you're opening yourself up for a lot of heartache and the money had better really be worth it. You better put that at a high tier reward before you're doing something like that, because I think the negative is going to outweigh the positive very, very quickly.
Yeah, for me, I wish I had it in front of me, but I think the tier for me on Patreon to get yourself drawn into Drive is something like $75 a month, and you have to do it. You have to have done it for 6 months or something. And so it's not a small amount. It's worth it for me to be like, all right, sure, you go on the strip.
Knock yourself out.
But I would just forewarn that if you do caricatures of people and you're like me, and I tend to draw more towards iconicity than realism.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do it, you just have to make sure that your caricature matches that level of iconicity and or realism.
Yeah.
If it's at all standoffish, you break the illusion of the story and you break the fourth wall and you don't want that. So just learn from me that I'm if like me, you're OK with throwing throwaway characters as readers of yours, which I am.
Yeah.
Just make sure that it matches the style and look of the comic so that it doesn't in any way pull more attention than it should. For what that passing character is in that panel.
Yeah.
Would you say, Brad?
I agree. And just to cap this off, we both agreed that that I maybe don't look the best. But I want to ask you this, Dave. Forget about what I look like. And speaking solely about today's podcast, how do I sound?
Brad, oh my goodness. I thought you were going to ask, how do you smell? In which case.
We covered that last episode. We're going to go through all the senses.
I was going to comment again about the Drekkar Noir. By the way, you sound amazing because not only do you have a blanket, but thanks to our Patreon backers at patreon.com/comiclab. We were literally able to get Brad a new microphone, and that's no joke. It's your support of the show that's making it sound better. You are making the show. You're giving yourself a gift, basically.
Right. in the sound of my voice. And I'm going to be really interested to go back and listen to this podcast. This microphone was delivered like an hour before we started recording today. It just so happened. I got the alert and I picked it up at a Black Friday sale. Dave sent me the link, said, oh, check this out. They brought their prices way down. And picked up a Blue Yeti microphone, and we're not getting any endorsement for that or any kickback, but picked up a Blue Yeti. It installed like a dream, and Dave says I sound really good on his side, so I'm going to be very interested to hear the effects of this new microphone that we got, again, like Dave said, thanks to our Patreon backers that made that microphone possible.
Well, and if you are on the fence about joining us on Patreon, you can actually help make the show better. You're giving yourself a gift, because we're going to get two or three more pieces of equipment for the podcasting in the next couple of months here.
Yeah.
And we would love to have you join us to help make that possible. So if you are not yet a Patreon backer, join us, patreon.com/comiclab. And you will hear Brad like whispering into your ear as though he's lying right next to you on that bed. And it's the pillow is nice and fluffed up, and Brad's leaning over and telling you, here's what you need to do to work on your Kickstarter.
There's a mental image nobody needed. And on that note, you've been listening to Comic Lab, the show about making comics and making a living from comics.
Your hosts have been Brad Geiger, as he holds a glass of Chardonnay and snuggles up next to you. Comfort of the fireplace is going. There's a bearskin rug. He's got the blanket. And he's with the new microphone. He's right there with you. He's right there with you, whispering in your ear. He's also the editor of webcomics.com. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What was the joke?
Would you like some more Chardonnay?
And that Chardonnay, just so you know, is buttery just like Brad's voice.
It better be buttery. In fact, the label says, I can't believe it's not Chardonnay.
And make sure you have Brad give you a little pillow talk now, because once he's drank that Chardonnay, he's going to sound like... Once he's drank that Chardonnay, he's going to sound like this.
Yeah, that's my romance talk right there.
That's Brad making a move. All right, anyway, your hosts have been Brad Geiger, the editor of webcomics.com and the cartoonist of Evil Inc. at evil-comic.com.
And Dave Kellett, co-director of Stripped and cartoonist of Sheldon at sheldoncomics.com and Drive at drivecomic.com.
And the Comic Lab theme song is used with permission from Andy Creighton at theworldrecord.net. And this episode, as all episodes, was edited by Matt Woodard of Woodsong Productions at www.woodsong.media.
Comic Lab is made possible by your support at patreon.com/comiclab, so we'll go ahead and say that twice. patreon.com/comiclab.
Or follow us on Kickstarter. I've got a thing that I need to get to.
I've been mulling this over, and we're done.